Canada is another country which is struggling to bring its Indigenous incarceration rates down. It has what are known as Gladue reports, which aim to take a restorative justice approach to sentencing Aboriginal offenders. The Gladue reports are based on a decision in 1999 that determined circumstances around Aboriginal offending are unique and need special consideration based on historical and social factors. But despite these Gladue rights, the Aboriginal community is still overrepresented in Canada's prisons. Jonathan Rudin is the Program Director of Aboriginal Legal Services in Toronto.
As in Australia, Aboriginal incarceration rates are ridiculously high. Aboriginal people are significantly overrepresented in prison. And in fact, those rates have continued to rise year after year since the Gladue decision. So on the one hand, you look at that and you throw up your hands in despair and go, well, what's the point? And our experience is that in those cases where judges actually have access to the information they need, then the sentences that Aboriginal offenders receive are significantly different because judges actually know something about the individual and have some significant options in terms of sentencing. So on a macro level, the situation is dire and continues to be dire. On a micro level, when we actually see when initiatives are being implemented, we see that they can make a real difference.
So now there's a system where Gladue reports are written up, which is information which is essentially a detailed backgrounder to an Indigenous offender's circumstances, which then goes to the judge. And so those circumstances are taken into account when it comes to sentencing. But the Indigenous incarceration rates in Canada, unfortunately, continue to rise. But you still think they're doing some good on the ground?
Yeah. For example, in Ontario, the province where our organization works, it's the province with the most Indigenous people in the country. There are Gladue Report writers. We have 13 and there are six or seven others. So there are probably 20, 21 writers. Each of them might write 20 reports a year, 25, 30 reports a year. But there are many more Indigenous people who are going before the courts. In other provinces, there's no ability to get Gladue reports really at all. And in those provinces, we don't see much of a difference in terms of incarceration rates. And so it's really a question, I think, of not just the courts, but of governments actually deciding that they want to really address this question and putting the resources necessary to address them. And those resources really have two components. One is you need more Gladue writers, you need more. We have Gladue aftercare workers who help people meet the conditions of their sentence. But the other thing that we need are resources. So it's fine to read a report that says that an individual, for example, may have an addictions issue, and that addictions issue may stem from abuse from their parents. And that might stem from the fact that their parents went to residential schools, which were a particular stain on the Canadian history. It's similar to the Stolen Generation in Australia. So you could talk about all those things, but if there aren't any Aboriginal specific addictions programs, then it's hard to know what you're actually going to do differently. And so one of the other things that's required, which is outside of the scope of the justice system itself, are the resources to bring in more rehabilitative, more restorative programs so that judges have and lawyers have at their disposal options that will actually meet the needs of the Aboriginal offenders who are before the courts. When we do a Gladue report, we often see that the sentence the individual receives is different than what, for example, the Crown and defense were thinking going into the sentencing. So what we see is when judges have information about the circumstances of an Aboriginal offender, when Crowns have that information, when defense counsel have that information, the sentences that people get change. So the Gladue reports make a difference on a micro level.
Why is that so different to ordinary pre-sentencing reports?
They give judges two types of information that they don't necessarily have before. So when we do our Gladue reports, we spend time interviewing the client and as many other people as we can. And the Gladue reports tend to be written in the words of the people we interview. So we're not summarizing what someone says. We're using their language. We don't edit it. We don't do anything with it. Here's their story. But what you get are the voices of the individuals who are involved in the person's life. And certainly that's very rare because you can go through the court system in Canada from charge to plea. And if you're an accused person, you may never say a word to the court. pre-sentence reports are often conclusory documents. They're documents that say, should the person be released or not, and reach a conclusion about that. Gladue reports don't reach conclusions. What we do is we say, here's the information. We also include in those reports information about things that judges may not know about, like the history of residential schools, like the impact of adoption on Aboriginal peoples, the history of addictions for Aboriginal peoples in the country, which is different from addictions in other communities.
You said before that you see the critical issue to making a real dent in Indigenous incarceration rates in Canada in resourcing this issue, in terms of putting some real money into diverting people away from prison and taking that holistic approach that you're talking about with the Gladue reports to outside the criminal justice system, essentially. What else do you see as critical in Canada in terms of really starting to try and turn this issue around?
The biggest issue is a question of awareness and understanding. Racism towards Indigenous people in Canada is a very real thing. And I know it's a very real thing in Australia. I just finished an inquest. I was representing the families of six Aboriginal youth who had to go to high school way away from their communities because there were no high schools in their communities. And they went to high school in a Northern Ontario town. And all the kids died. Seven died over a 10-year period. We represented six of them. As the inquest proceeded, one of the things that was really striking, and it's something that I knew, but in some ways it was just so graphic, was the reality of Indigenous people growing up in communities where they are just subject constantly to racism. Everyone we spoke to talked about incidents of people throwing food at them from cars. And living with that level of racism and living in a world where there is those divisions, it's not surprising that things turn out the way they turn out. And I guess the other thing that needs to be understood is the history of Aboriginal people, Indigenous people in Canada and in Australia. You know, why don't people just get over it? Why don't they pull their socks up? That approach, that attitude, which is very prevalent, that needs to change. In Canada, we just had the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, which looked at the issue of residential schools and issued an incredibly wide-ranging report, which talked about the need for reconciliation. And the need for reconciliation is more than saying sorry. And I know in Australia, the Australian government said sorry a long time ago, but it's more than saying sorry. It's taking steps to acknowledge Indigenous history, to teach the history of Indigenous people in all of the schools, to encourage people to understand the ways in which the state created the problems that exist now. So racism and all those things helps contribute to the prevalence of addictions in communities. And also just that lack of understanding. As I said, in Canada, we've now traced the residential school experience, although the last residential school closed in Canada in the late 90s. We can trace residential school. We still see it in our Gladue reports, where grandparents went to residential school, where they were beaten, where they were abused, where they were unable to parent their children, and those children couldn't parent their children. And we need to acknowledge these things, and we need to put in step places to remedy the harms that were done.
Jonathan Rudin from Aboriginal Legal Services in Toronto. That's it from the Law Report this week. Big thanks to producer Anita Barrow and technical producer Kerry Dell. I'm Rachel Carbonell. Up next, after the news, RN Drive with Patricia Carvelis.
Do you guys have Barramundi here?
This is Mike and Timothy, the unlikely hosts of a new RN podcast. It's called The Real Thing.
Oh, mama, you skipped over too high.
Stories.
Intimate stories, scenes, characters, places.
Born of Australia.
We're heading out into the corners to find the real Australia.
The Real Thing.
That's us.
Subscribe now.